You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Heard about Anchor. It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
One thing that I forgot to mention, or we forgot to mention before the last podcast is that I support Dak Prescott and what he did. I know what he did not take a lot of courage, and as someone who has not struggled with mental health, I do not know how it feels, but the only thing I have to say is that myself and anyone else at the YWC podcast, we do support mental health. And we also do support Dak for coming out and saying the things that he said. It was not easy for anyone to do it, especially an athlete as big as someone like Dak Prescott, who is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And as for some people who were saying that's weak or you have to hide your emotions, that's just not the right call. Sometimes there are things in life that are bigger than football, and this is one of them. So I just wanted to reiterate that we here at the YWC Football Podcast stand with Dak Prescott and everything he had to say about depression, anxiety, and all that stuff, and also to sending out his thoughts and his prayers after we found out the unfortunate events surrounding his brother's death. Thank you very much, and enjoy episode 25 as we look ahead to week 2 of the NFL season and look back at Titans versus Broncos. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to episode 25 of the YWC Football Talk Podcast. Yes, that is right, 25. It has been quite a few episodes. 25, we've come a long way.
Yeah, that's good.
That is good. Phil's back with me once again, Nightmare 10. Now, I believe, out of 25, he has been on. I got to do a quick roll count of this, because you've been my most consistent co-host out of everybody.
Yeah, I got to say I've been on it the most, I would think.
Yes. Let's just take a look at this. You're on 24. Sorry if there's dead airspace. You've been on at least 10. You've been on for almost, I think, half of them. At least
not
half of them.
10, of course.
Okay, perfect 10. We'll just say perfect 10. Chairman. But anyway, guys, week 1 is done. We can't believe it. We're on to, like Bill Belichick, we're on to week 2. We got some games we got to talk about. Just a pre-note for anyone here, we are recording after, we're recording back-to-back episodes, so we just did episode 24, we're doing 25 right now, 24 had Big Rat come in and out, Big Rat may be back later if we're still recording. Also, another surprise, if we're still on by the end of the game, Alex Lorenzo may pop on to give his quick thoughts on the Giants versus Steelers game, as that game's currently in the fourth quarter. And I will insert my thoughts on the Titans and the Broncos game sometime tomorrow. So this episode, we are recording Monday night. This episode, though, will be out probably either tomorrow night or Wednesday night. That is just a quick disclaimer for the listening audience. I was going to say viewers, but you're only viewing this if you're viewing the thumbnail created by the one, the only, Mike Pico on YouTube. But if you're listening to this on any podcast format, disclaimer, we are recording as Monday night is still going on, just so we can bank both these episodes so we are good to go. So if any injuries do happen between now and then, knock on wood, they don't. You can blame us for that. This just because, look, we got the time now. We're recording
and
now.
This is the YWC Football Talk Without the S, okay.
Yeah, talk without the S, not talks.
This is talks. We don't watch that show. Don't want
talk. This is talk.
No S needed.
No. We do have actually the first. I know kickoff is always the first game of the season is always on a Thursday night, but this week we have the first legit Thursday night football game, the Battle of the Buckeye State, Cleveland, Cincinnati. This isn't the most, I'm going to say, sexy matchup on paper, but part of me thinks this game could be interesting.
Yeah, and I actually think, I don't know, from what I saw, like, of both teams, I know the Browns played the Ravens, but I think Cincy wins this game. Short week, Burrow's playing well, they just seem to be on the momentum's on their side. You know, I know, granted, they flopped the kick, but, which could, we didn't talk about that, but props to the kicker for faking an injury, but I'm just messing. But no, I think the Bengals can win this game. I just don't. It's in Cincinnati, right? I just had to pull it up.
It's in Cleveland actually.
No, it's in Cleveland. But I don't know. I just think it's a close game. It's Thursday Night Football. I mean, I just think that this is the game that I think Cincinnati could steal it. You know, I wouldn't be shocked. Obviously, if Cleveland won because it's, you know, they should be the better team clearly. But I'm gonna pick Cincy in an upset on this one.
I'm going to say that I think Cincinnati wins, it doesn't matter, but I think Cleveland needs this win more than the Bengals do, because if the Bengals go 0-2, it's like, okay, it's a rebuild year, we know what's going on. But if Cleveland goes 0-2, there's going to be a lot of questions Friday morning in the greater Cleveland area. Don't think I know any Browns fans personally within the YWC network of people. I know some depressed football, some depressed Jets fans, Ryan from the Wrestling Radar, and James, he's 12 years old, but he's a Jets fan.
And Danny,
which we got to get him on the pod sometime. Danny, if you're listening to this, which I doubt you are, so we're going to get you on one time or another. I don't know any Browns fans. I know a Bengals fan because BTB, but...
That's it.
Yeah.
Miz and Dolph Ziggler are both Browns fans. I know that. That's it.
Dolph Ziggler, Miz, Jerry Lawler. Besides, I don't know anyone. But yeah, that's like, I'm going to say, and if we're doing this for fun too, scores, I'm going to say Cincinnati wins. I'm going to go an obscure 19-13. I think this honestly is one of those games where they come close, but it's like a couple touchdowns, but masked by like a few field goals.
You think Cincinnati wins? You have Cincinnati winning too?
Yeah, I have Cincinnati winning too. Okay. I wouldn't take them for like a survival pool, which, fuck, the Colts screwed me.
I was about to say, we didn't comment on the last one, but I remember seeing you that on your TikTok that you picked them, and then I remember, oh, wait, like, I'll see the result, but they didn't. I was like, oh, God, he didn't even last a week.
Yeah, I am going to because this is in the future, this is like a back-to-back Raw. I have duetted that TikTok, so you'll see what I got right and what I got wrong from week 1. I'm going to do that again. I'm doing it on here, but I'm also going to do it on TikTok, because TikTok gets me a lot more views than the podcast currently does, because TikTok's more free page, and the podcast is still relatively unknown, which is sad, but we'll keep grinding, and we'll get there one day.
Yeah.
I think Cincinnati, I think this is really the story of Joe Burrow. I think Burrow's going to come out, and then that's when the Baker questions come into play. Like Big Rat said, that 2018 class is going to be getting paid next summer, so, and Baker's the big question mark. He's like the Mitch Trubisky, where they may not pick up his option. The next game, I'm just going by what I see on my score app. The next game is a very interesting one, because Phil and I were going to pay close attention to this one. The Carolina Panthers visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers open as an 8-point favorite, and the over-under is 48.5. For as much as we saw some blunders with Brady on Sunday, I think the Buccaneers do win this game. It's just a question of how close does Carolina keep it?
Yeah, and the Carolina was competitive against the Raiders. So, I mean, I don't, and they're still going through some new changes as well. No Luke Kuechly is going to be a huge difference this year. And then you have, you know, Bridgewater getting used to the offense and things like that. So, but I think the Panthers will make it competitive. One, it's a division game as well, but... I think this is where Brady, you know, Brady has a good game, and then it goes back to the narrative. Well, maybe they're okay, you know, but it was just a set.
Exactly. One thing I want to say, though.
I don't know if they cover. We talked about this last episode. I don't know if they cover, but.
You know what? I think there is a chance, but I don't think so. If I had to pick a score for this, I'm going to say. I'm going to say 28-14, Tampa wins.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if they won by two touchdowns, and I wouldn't be shocked if it was close either. So.
Same. Like, I feel like this could be... I think if it's close, I think it's going to be a lot lower scoring of a game. Like, it's going to be like a 21-17. But if it's two touchdowns, I think it's like a 28-14. As Jabril Peppers goes down for the Giants, as the Steelers try to hold on for the win with about 7 minutes left to go in that game. Up next on the docket, we have got Jaguars visiting the Titans. This is a surprising one. The Titans are a 10-point favorite right now. I think after what we saw yesterday from the Jaguars, I'm going to once again say Titans win. But I think there's a better chance that the Jaguars cover this game than the Panthers do against the Bucs.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Tennessee plays tonight against Denver. So that will probably play into that a little bit. But I don't know. I just think the Colts were overhyped, man. I think the Jags were, you know, rightfully so. I think people think that the Jags are just going to tank, and no team can afford to really just do that. So I think that proved that pretty early. I still think Tennessee wins. I don't know. I think they cover, to be honest. I just don't know. Unless I see something different from tonight, you know, with Tennessee. But, you know, I think Tennessee wins pretty handily.
Exactly. I think that
Tennessee's also they're not a team that's going to go out there and destroy. Like, they don't have big win. Like, they do what they, you know, methodical win. So
exactly. Like, what they did, the only big win they ever had, like, obviously beating the Patriots in the wild card game last year was big, but that was more big of, like, big. It wasn't big like a blowout statement win. I think Baltimore was more the case of a bigger statement, like, yeah, just a statement made when you put up 28 points against a team that's supposed to run roughshod on you. But if I had to say a score for this game, I'm going to say 17-10. I think relatively low scoring. I think the defenses can kind of have a say in this one, but it's just a matter of what the offenses can do. But I think you could see either a... I only say that too because I... And the other thing I got to say with this game, too, this game belongs on a Thursday night. I'm sorry. Jags-Titans is always a Thursday night game. I just think of those, like, ugly gold Jacksonville Jaguar uniforms and, like, the bright blue Tennessee Titan uniforms. Like, this game belongs on Thursday night football, and it's not this year. We got robbed of that. Thank you, NFL. The next one I see here is featuring the team that's in action right now, taking on the Chicago Bears. Bears are a 5-point favorite, and the over-under is at 42.5. This is a very... I think this game could go either way, especially after... I know the Bears had a big win yesterday, but they're a bit of a shaky team. They're Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, both these teams kind of are. Giants, I don't know. The Giants looked kind of good early on in this game. I've been watching most of it while we've been recording, but I don't know. They haven't looked good since then. So, I still think the Bears win, but I wouldn't be shocked either way because it's kind of like the Bears. Like, you don't expect the Bears to win every game they're supposed to. So, it's I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants won, but...
Like, the Bears play the Detroit Lions.
They're playing a good defense, and the Steelers, like, that offensive line for the Giants is trash. Like, they can't run at all against the Steelers tonight. Barkley has, like, barely done anything on the ground. And so, I mean, that's going to be even tougher against Chicago. So, I don't know. I just don't think they're going to...
Barkley has 15 carries on 6 yards.
Not good.
15 carries on 6 yards. Jesus Christ.
This defense is legit. I'm not knocking that, but I just think that's it's definitely that offensive line is not giving him any holes at all. And so I think that they're going to struggle again with that against Chicago. So.
And Chicago, too, has a fair... Oh, and the Giants almost screwed up and got a too many men penalty as they're deep into the red zone right now. Oh, and I think the Giants just got a timeout called. You know what? I'm going to say this. I think the Bears win this game, but I think it's by, like, the skin of their teeth. I think this is going to be a very, like, for as much as both, like, the Giants' offensive line and the Bears' defense is good, the Giants' defense has been pretty good tonight, so if they can play a similar game to what they played tonight, I can see a score like this happening, but I'm going to say 17-13 Bears win.
I can see that.
I just like to say the score because, like, you know what? I feel like if I'm making a game prediction, I want to say what I think the score is going to be. And by the way, with that, I would take the Giants to cover. Giants to cover for if you're betting out there.
Yeah. I mean, I never like saying scores because I feel like I'm always off. I can tell you if it's close or if it's not going to be close. But.
No. I'll say it for a few more games and then I'll shut my mouth.
No, you're good. Give them a score because I'm not going to give them one. So it gets two different perspectives.
Yeah, all good. Next up, we've got the Falcons visiting the Cowboys. The Cowboys were robbed last time, and the Falcons looked pretty good. It's just the same thing, too. Like the Giants, that offensive line is very suspect for Atlanta.
Yeah, and I think I don't know. I got to see highlights from Atlanta and Seattle. I actually watched a good bit of the Dallas and Rams game, at least the second half. Dallas, I don't know. Dallas still, like, once again, you would think they have better coaching, but the coaching was still a problem in this game. Like, they have too much talent to be as bad as they are. Like, I know they only lost by three and stuff, but like, who's like that? Anyways, we're analyzing last week's game, but I don't know. I think Falcons win this game, honestly. Like, I think the Falcons are better, like, just seem to be, have it together better. I don't know. But Dallas needs to, I mean, the one thing in Dallas' favor is they're losing these, like, they lost against the Rams, and if my prediction becomes true and Atlanta beats them and they're 0-2, like, it'll wake them up sooner because they were 3-0 and they thought they were on cloud nine last year and finished 8-8. So I think it's a good wake-up call for Dallas. To start off the season rough because then they can, but yeah, it just got to, I don't know. As of right now, like I said, I wouldn't be shocked, obviously, if Dallas won. I think it's still close, but I think Atlanta wins. You know, one of these teams, it's crazy, like one of these teams are going to start 0-2, so it's going to be very interesting.
When Atlanta also, too, wasn't really expected to do much this year, but also, too, I would make a point that this is a must-win in the sense for the Falcons of, if they go 0-2, Dan Quinn's job security gets a little, like, less and less and less. As Pittsburgh gets another touchdown. Good for Juju. Britton Harrison's going to be hating this right now, but Juju Smith-Schuster now has two touchdowns on the night as the Steelers take a 25-10 lead.
We talked about this in the last episode, but freaking Juju. I had a Steelers fan behind me. I'm like, oh, I won't be a dick. I won't draft Juju. I'll take Odell Beckham, and he got Juju. I'm like, dang it, I knew Juju was going to have a big year. I knew it in one of my leagues.
Yeah, Britton Harrison is just screaming a bloody rage of curse words right now at his television set.
Yeah.
I only say that because he publicly admitted this on the NFC preview episode. If you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to it. Him and Matt Beast, the three of us, had a really good NFC prediction show. He said that Juju Smith-Schuster has just pissed him off year in, year and out. I remember last year in our league, he offered to trade him. I think this was like week 8. Back to Atlanta-Dallas, though. I think your boy, your Gamecock, I think he's going to get a touchdown in this game.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst. And he did, I think for his first game, like, it's going to take some time. But he got enough reps to go his way. But that offense, I mean, they got really did amazing. Jones did amazing. And so I think, like, just one of those games, like, one of those games where he, like, one of those guys isn't, like, the biggest focal point. I think Hayden Hurst could have a big game.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go Atlanta too, just to pick an underdog because we've been picking basically all the favorites going forward. But if I had to pick a score for this game, let's say Atlanta. I'm gonna say, fuck, I'm having a tough time with this.
I definitely think it's gonna be in the 20s for sure.
24-20, Atlanta wins.
There you go.
24-20. The next up we have got a team who should have won yesterday in the Detroit Lions. You know where we say it gets easier? It doesn't get easier for the Detroit Lions, because guess where they're going? They're going to Lambeau Field to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers as the Packers open up as a 5.5 spread. This is not going to be a close game.
You said what?
This is not going to be a close game. The spread's 5.5.
It's about to roll. Yeah, there's no way. No. There's no way this is close.
I think Aaron Rodgers is just on this big, like, trying to prove to management you made the wrong mistake in spending your first-round draft pick on a quarterback in Jordan Love. And instead being like, hey, look, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm a bad man. I'm here just to run roughshod on the world. Like, there's just...
Hey, don't look at my prediction. Bold prediction of Aaron Rodgers last year in Green Bay. After week one, it doesn't look good.
No, it does not.
It doesn't look like, I mean, but granted, you can play as good as you want. If they don't want you, there's nothing they can do. But
exactly. I'm only saying this isn't going to be close because, look, a loss like that is just purely deflating when you have a big lead and then it just gets squished. Like, look at last year, like Big Rat said. It was eerily similar where last year the Lions were up on the Cardinals by 16 points and lost. And then they tied, but then yesterday they were up, I think, 23-7 on the Bears, and then they lost. or let me see, actually. I'm just going to look the score up yesterday. So it was 27-23 was the final for Chicago. Bears are back, baby. But at one point, going into the fourth quarter, it was 23-6. The Bears with three touchdowns, all from Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
Who went 20-36 with 242 yards, three touchdowns, and a 104.2 QBR rating. I'm sorry, but when you have that bad of a fourth quarter and your next thing is, oh, we got to get ready for Aaron Rodgers. I know it's a divisional game, but like we say here all the time, especially with the AFC East, divisional games go one of two ways. It's close or it's an ass whooping. I'm going to say this right now, 41-10, Packers win.
Whoa, that's a big one. I think Green Bay's defense isn't good enough to where they could not allow points and garbage time, but I do think it's a blowout, though. I agree with that.
I'm just saying 41-10, like, oh, it may be close, but then, like, they're just going to step on the gas and just not look back.
Yeah, this should be close.
Yeah. The next game is a very interesting one featuring two very interesting quarterbacks. We have the Minnesota Vikings visiting the Indianapolis Colts, which this game will be taking place in front of 2,500 people, probably the same as a lot of high school games usually are in non-COVID circumstances. As this game quickly, the Colts open as a 3-point favorite. Phil, what are your thoughts on this game?
Well, I mean, going into this season, I wasn't as high on the Colts as everyone else was. I just didn't think. I mean, there is talent there, but the Vikings getting destroyed last week. I'm like, dang! Like I said this in the last podcast. Like I had a feeling and ended up dropping the Vikings defense and not playing them, and they ended up getting, you know. Obviously, Rodgers went off, but like I don't know. I think the Vikings are the better team. They are going to Indy. There will be a little bit of fans there, as you said. So I'm going to say the Vikings squeak out a close one in this. I don't know. I'm just not big on Indy until they show me something. Like I don't know. Rivers struggled as well, and the Vikings defense. I would think. I mean, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, you know, showed that it wasn't. But I would think they would be better. So than what they faced in Jacksonville. So I don't know. Maybe they bounced back. Maybe Jacksonville just was like, you know, a rough start on the road. And maybe they're better at home. But I'm going to go with the Vikings.
You know what? The more I think about look at this game, because the Vikings didn't look so bad yesterday. Like, the offensively, defensively was a bit of a struggle. But the Colts, if the Colts look like the Colts of yesterday against the Vikings, I think the Vikings win this game no problem. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout like my last game where I just went off and basically said, oh, haha, Detroit's going to get their asses whooped. If I am wrong on that, I will publicly admit it next week. This game, I think it can go either way. I'm going to go Minnesota, though. I just think Minnesota has that sour taste in their mouth of getting blown out in their home opener due to a divisional rival that, I'm sorry, but if you're the Indianapolis Colts, you're that unfortunate punching bag. But score-wise, 24-21. I think this is a much closer game. I think this is like a Dan, like Kirk Cousins leads the Vikings downfield like late and then gets that like game-winning field goal as time expires.
There you go.
Yeah. And the next game, he is not here to comment on this game. I wish he was here to comment on this game, but we got Big Rat, who I know is just salivating at a potential Dolphins win in this one, as the Miami Dolphins, also in front of 16,000 fans, are going to welcome the Buffalo Bills to town, who will open up as a 6-point favorite. Let's see. Is your prediction going to make Big Rat happy, or are you going to make Big Rat miserable once again as Josh Allen plays like a career game against the Dolphins?
Yeah, I mean this is one of those games where you I always say, like, you have no faith in the Bills. Like, the Bills are going to always be the Bills. This could be a game that they could lose, but this is a game they should win. I know they played an awful Jets team, but the Dolphins aren't that much better. You know, I know Big Rat thinks they're actually worse, but. But yeah, I think I would go with I think the Bills win this game. They're the better team; they should win. But I would laugh if they lost.
I would laugh too if they lost this Sunday. I'm gonna be locked into Red Zone, so I'm gonna be watching a little bit of every single game. Unlike yesterday, I was watching the Patriots, but then I would occasionally just check in on the scores or look on my phone on the Dazn app for those games. I'm gonna think this game plays out like, you know, where it's like close for a bit, but then like in the fourth quarter, someone pulls away. That's what I think happens in this game. I'm going to go Buffalo 24-20. I am sorry, Big Rat. Prove me wrong, Miami Dolphins. Prove me wrong. That's all. Prove us both wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. Next game, too, is another interesting one, and a potential one I'm thinking about taking in my Eliminator survival pool, because I have two strikes I get. Once I lose two, I'm out. I lost week one because I picked the Colts over the Jaguars, and I came back and bite me in the butt. This one I'm considering picking, though, and it is the New York Jets hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Niners are a 6.5-point favorite. I think this game goes one of two ways, where it's either close for some reason, or the Jets just absolutely get destroyed and humiliated at home.
Yeah, I think this is a bounce back game for the Niners. I think they, you know, they got caught off guard with those. I say caught off guard, but I think the Cardinals, you know, proved them kind of wrong. So I think that, I would definitely go with the Niners. I think the Niners bounce back. The Jets. I was on this podcast saying the Jets were going to be awful this year, and I have not been proven wrong yet. So until I am.
Fun fact. Just a quick fun fact, actually. After this game, the 49ers aren't going home because guess who they play in week three? The New York Giants.
Oh wow! So they're not going. Yeah.
Yeah, they're sending.
Will they stay? No, they're not allowed to stay.
They're staying somewhere in West Virginia.
Are they okay? Because I heard something that they're not allowed to stay on the East Coast. They have to go back, but I don't know.
I think they're allowed to stay on like a neutral site, but I don't think they're allowed to stay like in New York or in New Jersey. I don't know where I don't know where team hotels are in the NFL. I'm not a weirdo, but I only say that jokingly because obviously, like how Phil and I as wrestling fans, we kind of figure out whenever we're in WrestleMania, it's easier to figure out where the wrestlers are staying. For the NFL, that's something I really have never looked into, and I. Whenever I'm in a city, for the few times I've been to an NFL game, I don't really look to go stalk players at the hotel. But I think they're going to stay at this place called the Greenbrier. I've heard it on Pro Football Talk. I think it's like a resort or like a ranch kind of thing. So they'll stay there for the week. They'll practice. They'll do all their stuff. And they'll be able to quarantine there. And then probably they'll head back up to New Jersey like Friday or Saturday. As Daniel Jones goes for... And it's no good. Daniel Jones is another example, like Baker, where he can like have a play of excellence and look great, and then the next play he just like throws a horrible pass or just like is just throwing like weird bombs all over the field. The one thing I want to say about this game for score, I do think San Francisco does bounce back. I think Jimmy has a good day. I'm not going out here like Green Bay and Detroit and saying they get their butts whooped, but it's I don't think it's close. I'm going to say 28-13. And as I just rip up Daniel Jones for that, he converts on third down as they're down by 16, so they got to get a touchdown. For everyone who's watching this, it's at the 2-minute warning right now. I'm just going to say this. We're going to continue to make our picks, but actually, we're going to stop for a second because I just want to do a live like watching to see what Daniel Jones does here. Is that okay, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, like we both, let's see, Daniel Jones gets a throw off. Throws it into the end. Oh, and like I said, he incomplete throws it. So Saquon Barkley, second and goal, 2:02 on the clock. If he can get, is your feed behind, by the way, or are you?
Yeah, mine's behind. That's what I have Sling TV, so it's always behind.
Okay. I am with the Canadian cable company called Bell. Logo is not a bell, by the way. But with 2:02 left, let's see, second and goal. Let's see what Danny Dimes can do here. Or as I saw the Iron Sheik tweet out tonight, Danny Dimebags.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. Back to snap. Flustered in the pocket. He's getting chased down. And he throws it away.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah. As they go to the 2-minute warning and as they go to commercial break, we are going to do some more predictions. So like I said earlier, I have this game, what was the scoreline? 28-13. 15 points. Not an ass-whooping. Oh, and on to our next game. Here's a fun one. See what I mean? Like, he just got, like, ran out. He got desperate, and he just chucked it away. We have two more 1 o'clock games left. The next one is the Rams and the Eagles. If y'all thought the Dallas Cowboy offensive line was bad, Philly's got embarrassed, in week one by Washington. And you got Aaron Donald to deal with now.
Yeah, and well, the key will be, does Lane Johnson play? Because that offensive line is, that'll definitely be a key. Like, Lane Johnson for the Eagles, like, they've shown some stats. Like, Wentz is, like, the stats between Wentz, like with Lane Johnson without, is not good. So I think whether he plays or not, I don't know if like there's a, if there's any early news about him or not. But if he doesn't play, it could be a very long game. I think even if he does play, I still think the Rams are going to win. One side note on that game or on the last night, those Rams jerseys are awful, awful. Like I don't know. I just did not like them. I mean, if you like them, that's fine. But like, I don't know. Something about the color was just weird. Like, I saw a tweet. It's like, hey, how do you want your jerseys? And they're like, let's let them look like they were going to throw them in a laundry rag. Or something like that. I was like, okay, that's pretty funny. But, I mean, the helmets were kind of cool, but the jerseys, yeah. But anyways, I think the Rams win that. Hello? Oh, I lost them.
I'm sorry.
You there?
I'm sorry. I'm just sending a quick text on. Because we may have a mystery guest coming on. You know what? I call it Best Buy presents the Los Angeles Rams because their uniforms look like they belong in Best Buy. Like, my mom was... I was watching the game with my parents, and, like, my mom was like, oh, they don't look that bad. I'm like, they're terrible. Like, it's, like, this, like, weird shade of white, and, like, even the font of the jerseys and the fact that the logo is just, like, this little... Okay, that's weird to see. Former South Carolina Gamecock, Jadeveon Clowney... in a Tennessee Titans uniform.
Oh, yeah. It's weird to see.
But the one thing I want to say before this is quickly is just, I think I'm going to go with the Rams, too, just to kind of have that wake-up call. Not that the Rams are so much, like, back to where they were 2 years ago, but, like, that same thing, too, where, like, you know, Dallas has two early losses. I think it's the same with Philly, where they both get, like, that kick in the butt that they deserve. Because this division potentially could have a 2-0 team and 3-0-2 teams by the end of the week. Unless third and goal right now, we're going to take another quick break as the Giants line up. Daniel Jones takes a snap. Daniel Jones gets it off. And a touchdown to Darius Slayton.
Oh, Slayton's killing it.
Yeah, but if you are if you're the Giants, you got to go for two here.
Yep, you definitely have to.
Yeah, they're going for two. Sorry for the interruption, folks, but you know what? Football's back, and when we're recording football like this, live watch-ins are always good, even though this is going to be released after week one is completed. Because you know why? Can I say one thing about watching the games week one?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I know there were no fans there, but it just felt good.
Oh, yeah. It felt really good to watch football back. I'm glad, like I said, normally I probably wouldn't watch a Giants-Steelers game, but you know, I can't get enough of football right now.
And no good on the conversion, as it's now a 10-point game and pretty much going to be sealed up unless the Giants recover the onside kick. But yeah, no, just that's the one thing I'm going to talk about quickly. It's just watching football, even yesterday for us, watching the Patriots-Dolphins game. I know there was no fans in the crowd, and like it's weird too with the reporters being like in the 100 level, like and not even be able to conduct their interviews like they normally do, where they're close to the person, where it's like they're at one end of the stadium and the players at the other end. Like I said, it was just a feeling of, like, normal. It was, like, a normal feeling of, like, look, it's a Sunday in September after Labor Day. I get to watch football. I'm a happy man.
No, I agree. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. But back to the predictions, though, with the Giants-Eagles. With the Eagles and Rams, you know what? I think the Rams, too, just, like, it's not like yesterday the Rams looked bad. The Rams looked pretty good. It's just... the Cowboys' defense did not impress me yesterday, and when it came down to crunch time, they made Mike McCarthy had an error, and then Dak Prescott didn't exactly look all that good yesterday. But the Rams, you know what? Their defense is ferocious, and like we said, we'll know later in the week, but if Lane Johnson doesn't play, Aaron Donald is going to be trouble for this Eagles offensive line, and Carson Wentz may be on his butt for most of this game.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, no Lane Johnson, this thing, like that, yeah, the Rams are winning this game. And the Rams' offense looked good last night as well. So, I mean, I think their offense doesn't have to do that much when they can, you know, hold a team to 17 points. So, I just think the Rams might be finally bouncing back. We'll see. I mean, it's early, but.
I'm going to say 21-17 Rams.
All right. Yep.
Yeah, similar score to yesterday.
Yep.
Just a quick update. I got a text from Alex saying, Giants suck. WTF do you want me to say, LOL?
There's nothing for him to say about him, is pretty much what he's saying.
Yeah. So that's basically Alex's recap, is that the Giants suck. So it's like just another story. I'm just going to tell him. I'm just telling him, you don't have to come on if you don't want to. I'm just telling him, you'll say what you tell me. I said your text. I'll tell him later. I'll be like, yeah, your text message got read on the podcast. Yeah, Giants suck. What the fuck do you want me to say? Yeah. But next up is the team. It's another team. It's kind of funny because this next game is a team who has yet to play and a team who's currently playing as the. That's a very weird looking photo of Ben and Eli. But the Broncos are visiting Pittsburgh. And you know what? Pittsburgh has looked pretty decent tonight, like, in the sense of, like, their defense is good. Denver's defense is good. Denver's offense is potentially good, but Denver's got a questionable offensive line. I'm going to go Steelers. I think I'm going to go back. I'm going to get off the, I know we picked a couple underdogs to win in, Atlanta, Minnesota, and LA, but I'm gonna pick Pittsburgh to win this game.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh wins. I mean, this will be an interesting matchup if Von Miller was there. I don't know. It's gonna be fun or not fun necessarily, but it's gonna be interesting to see how Denver plays tonight without Von Miller and how that defense looks. But the defense is still good even without him. But I still think Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has shown enough. Their offensive line though tonight, like that's gonna be a key storyline. Like early on, like. I mean, and the Giants' D-line isn't that great. So the fact that, I mean, their offensive line for the Steelers did not look good either. Both their offensive lines were playing terrible. It took a little while to kind of maybe Ben get his bearings and stuff. He has been out for a year, but so that's going to be still a question mark to watch kind of early in the season. But I still think the Steelers win.
Hi, everybody. I'm back here right now to add to episode 25 and give a quick little recap of the Titans-Broncos game. Before I go into the quick recap, I only watched up to the first half just because I was getting tired and it was late at night, and I have this thing called work, but it turns out I missed a hell of a second half. The only things I have to say about this game is obviously the Gostkowski missed field goals were a big hindrance to the Titans, and he ended up coming up big when it mattered with 17 seconds left. But that's the thing I want to talk about. Vic Fangio had multiple timeouts to use late in the game, and I'm sorry, but like my stance on the New York Jets, my stance on the Denver Broncos is simple. As long as Vic Fangio is their head coach, he's not going to help them win football games and be a Super Bowl contending team. I think they need someone younger in there, someone with a new school style sense of football. Meanwhile, Vic is very old school in the sense he feels like, oh, if I give them enough time, they're going to kick the field goal. But then that can play in your favor because you have a quarterback I saw in Drew Lock who knows how to command the field. Nothing against the Broncos. Drew Lock looks like a fantastic quarterback. I think he's going to be a great quarterback in this league going forward. It's just with a guy like Vic Fangio, when you have a new OC to with Pat Shurmur, I know Pat Shurmur, Justin from Talking Giants told me about this, that Pat Shurmur wanted Drew Lock last year in the 2019 draft, even though the Giants went with Daniel Jones. But he has his guy now in Denver, and Pat Shurmur doesn't have the pressures of a head coach. He's an OC. So you know what? Give it a few games. I think it'll work out. But my stance in this game is still simple. Tennessee looks as good as last year, but I want to see them against a better opponent. Like, I know they play the Bills coming up, I think week five or week seven, because I know week six the Bills have the Thursday nighter against the Chiefs. And the only thing I want to say about the Gostkowski missed field goals is, as a big Gostkowski fan from his time in New England, I know that he was dealing with some hip problems last year, and clearly that's still bothering him if he missed a couple of field goals. So nothing against him. I just know that his hip probably still is not 100%. That's the only thing I have to say about this game. Besides that, I went 11-16 on my predictions this week, which I'm very proud of. But anyway, guys, enjoy the rest of the YWC Football Talk podcast as Phil and I look ahead, for week two of the NFL season.
As for, Alex just texting me back, LOL, there were positives. Defense wasn't as bad as usual. Just a couple of mistakes from Jones. Ingram was bad. Steelers D was too good for our O-line. Ingram was bad. So he said Ingram was bad twice, but he said Sterling Shepard, who I call Marcus Stroman, because if you do Google it, Sterling Shepard and Marcus Stroman look identical to one another, and that Shepard was really good. I think he meant to say Slayton on that. But because from what I've seen in this game, Darius Slayton did have 2 touchdowns. So that is Alex Lorenzo's New York Giants recap. Alex, thank you very much. We'll have to get you on the podcast for sometime very soon. You on sometime soon. I know I'm repeating myself, people, but look, I am giving Alex a text message because I had to give him his limelight because I feel like if he comes on here, I feel like he didn't want to come on and talk about it, so you know what? I'll do the talking for him. But as for scores for the Steelers and the Broncos, 27-14, Steelers win.
There we go.
There we go. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games, and this is a game right here where you didn't expect either team to be 1-0, but they are. It is the Washington football team traveling to Arizona to take on the Arizona Cardinals, which, for those of you who don't know yet, the Arizona Cardinals are my sweetheart team, that bad team from last year that you want to see do well, and Kyler Murray impressed the hell out of me yesterday.
We talked about that before, but he played very well, so I think it's going to be interesting to see how he does against that D-line. Chase Young looked unreal. So I think that's going to be a very interesting matchup in that. And then also, obviously, Washington, was it more of the Eagles than it was them. But that D-line for Washington is looking good. So that's going to be a true test for Kyler Murray. So I still think the Arizona, I feel like they find, like, Kyler Murray can kind of move around more than, of course, Wentz can. So I still think the Cardinals win. Hopkins looked amazing. I don't know if Washington has an answer for him.
That's the big thing. I was wondering, like, for as good as a defensive line they have, you haven't seen a whole lot from that secondary yet. But I'm going to go, you know what, also, too, Cardinals are a 6.5 favorite. I think it's a little closer than that, but I still think Arizona wins 26-20, I'm going to say. You know what, it's just a couple of, like, little things here or there as Joe Judge looks visibly frustrated. How could you not be? You're the coach of the New York Giants. But, yeah, like, for as good as Washington's D-line is, if Kyler Murray can figure that out, if Cliff Kingsbury can drop a good game plan for them, and also, too, if Kenyon Drake can run the ball well, this team's going to win the game no problem. But if they can contain Kyler and make Kenyon Drake a non-factor, it's literally all this. I'm sorry for interrupting, but all the Steelers have to do is get a first down here, and then that's the game. Canada, Chase Claypool gets the first down, and that is the ball game. Steelers are going to win 26-16.
There you go.
Pride of Abbotsford, British Columbia, Canada. Chase Claypool. Gotta rep. Hey, there's not a lot of Canadians in the NFL. You gotta recognize them when you can.
That's true.
Yeah. But, no, I'm going to say that, but this is one game, honestly, like, it's like Minnesota-Indy. I can see it going either way, the Arizona and Washington. Next week on our docket, we have got Baltimore visiting Houston. Baltimore looked really good yesterday, and Houston's looking a little shaky.
Yeah, Baltimore's going to blow them out. Last, not even what we're talking about.
No, not even what we're talking about. I got to say this, I'm going to give you an over-under for just how much you think the score is going to be. 15-point margin of victory.
I think it's going to be more. I think they're going to win by 3 touchdowns. Baltimore's way better than Houston. I mean, I feel bad for Watson, but Houston's, I don't know, I just don't think Houston's very good. Yeah. I'm very low on them this year. A lot of people have them making the playoffs, and they have, I looked at their schedule, like, there's, you know, it's kind of like at that, like, 8-8, 9-7 possibility level, but I don't know. I think they're going to barely miss them. With the extra team, they may end up making it, but right now, I just was not high on Houston, and I'm still not high on them. So I think Baltimore wins.
No, I get that. I'm going to come out of the gate right now and say 42-17 Baltimore wins. It's like, look, Lamar looked like Lamar. I know everyone says, oh, in the playoffs, but you know what? The fact that they just went in and just absolutely stomped the Cleveland Browns, they made a statement. They're saying, like, hey, we know we have a sour taste in our mouth from last year, but we are here right now, and we're here to show why we're as good as we were last year. So I think they go into Baltimore and take care of business. But I'm already looking ahead to their Week 3 game against Kansas City on Monday Night Football. That's a game I'm going to be tuning in for. And that's a game, too, where I don't know if I'll be able to record and podcast and watch at the same time. I'm going to be all eyes locked in on that game because that game's going to be incredible.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up is actually, I think, let me just check. Yes, before, because the next game we have a lot to talk about before this, but the last game of the 4 o'clock series is the Chiefs visiting the Chargers. I think, simply put, I think, Pat, I don't know how you bet against Patrick Mahomes in a game like this.
Yeah, I mean, Chargers didn't look too good. I mean, Chargers, I don't know, their offense is there's a lot of questionable things going on right there, their offense. I mean, Tyrod Taylor can only do so much, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. But I don't know, I think that, obviously I'm not betting against the Chiefs, not right now.
No, neither am I. But as for score, I don't think this is going to be like the Ravens and the Texans where it's an absolute blowout. I think it could be close, but not, like, crazy close. What's a good score to use? 24-16. Like, something like that. Something along, like, those lines, you know, where the defense can hold Mahomes a little bit, but at the end of the day, he's just going to do the right amount to give them the victory. Like, I know you're not all... Pardon me?
No, that sounds good.
All right. Next up, we got Sunday Night Football. The Seattle Seahawks hosting the New England Patriots. Super Cam taking it.
Week one, I mean, I've already been hyped for this game anyway, but week one is maybe even more hyped for this game. I'm really thinking Cam versus Russell Wilson is a really cool matchup that's going to be awesome to see. Unfortunately, I think Seattle's the better team right now, but I'd be hyped if we beat Seattle, especially week two. I still think it's gonna be close. I'll give the edge to Seattle, even as a Pats fan. I'll give the edge to them right now. But man, this is gonna be fun. I'm ready for this game.
You know what? This is a game too. I can see going either way. I just think at the end of the day, you know what? For as much as I want it, like, this is a game always too. Before we sign Cam, I always like circle them in the calendar as like, I just don't see us winning. I know everyone right now is saying, like, all this stuff, like, oh, like, you're betting against your own team. It's no, I'm not betting against my own team. I'm just being realistic more than anything. Like, look, when it comes down to it, we're not going to go 16-0. I know that. 16-0 is very unrealistic. We did it once 13 years ago. Would it be great if we did it again? Absolutely. Do I see it doing it right now? No, because this is a team who still needs to improve on throwing the ball, and also to receiving, because Seattle's going to have film on Cam, and they're not going to neutralize him, because guess what? They have a very similar quarterback style with Russell Wilson and with Cam Newton. So it's an easier to figure out kind of wet thing. That's what I got to say. As for score-wise, I'm going to say 27-20, you know, where it's like a close game, but then Seattle just has that one more touchdown to win the game.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's gonna be interesting to see how our defense. I'm really, like I said, their defense, how Cam Newton plays against them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's gonna be a good game.
Yeah, because here's the thing though, like if we lose this game, like how we were talking about on the podcast prior, how if we lose this game, but Tampa Bay wins their game in convincing fashion, it's gonna be, oh, for all you guys slandering Brady, and like, oh, Cam's not as good as you thought he was. Like, it's gonna be that kind of slander coming out on the Monday. But with this though, if the Patriots can go up to Seattle, because this is where the fan things are gonna come into play, you don't have to deal with that 12th man Sunday night. There's not the fans that they have to rely on. Like, it's an empty stadium. Like, you can pump in crowd noise, but there's nothing that compares to, like, actual, like, crowd noise to, like, to the actual thing.
Right.
So, this is a game like the other ones we were talking about. It would not shock me if the Patriots win, but I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't believe we lost, we suck if we lose to Seattle. I'll do that if we lose by 20 or 30, but I just, you know what, I don't see Bill Belichick letting stuff like that happen.
No, I think it'll be a close game. I think even if we were to lose, but a win's a big statement. This will be a big statement win for us. So I'm very intrigued for sure. I just think that on paper, you got to say Seattle's going to win.
Exactly. I'm still going to pick Seattle, but you know what? I hope I'm wrong.
Same.
And then last but not least, we have got the Monday Nighter opening the new Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada, as the New Orleans Saints go to Vegas to take on the Raiders.
Huge game.
Pardon me?
I said big game, huge game.
You know what? You know what? This is a game, like, if you at the beginning of the year was like, okay, whatever. Josh Jacobs is special. This Raider team, they're gonna come to play. Like, also, too, because I think Derek Carr is fighting for his job, personally. Because I think if he doesn't have a good year, he's out of there next year.
No, sure.
I'm still going to say Saints win this game, but I don't think it's easy. I think that you're going to see the Raiders. It's very similar. It's very similar. Viking to a Raider. Viking Raiders. WWE crossover. even though one of them's hurt right now. The thing I'm going to say about this game is that the Raiders, I could see them giving them trouble, especially like what Tampa did yesterday. You know, where those like few defensive miscues the Saints have, because the Saints do have them from time to time in games. So I can see something like that happening. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say 31-21 Saints win.
That's pretty good. I think that definitely Saints are going to win this. I think the Raiders, you know, I think they played well against the Panthers, but it was still like kind of like they were on the same, you know, wavelength in a sense. So Josh Jacobs, like you said, I agree, is a beast. My boy Brian Edwards, my boy Hunter Renfrow, that offense, I mean, Ruggs looked pretty good outside of, you know, getting like, seemed like he kind of got hurt towards the end. But so I think that I would definitely think that this game is closer than people might think initially. But the Saints are going to be rolling right now. I don't see them losing right now.
Exactly. Like, that's the other thing I was going to say, too. The Saints have the Packers in Week 3 Sunday Night Football, which that's going to be a good game to look out for. Breeze versus Rodgers in the Superdome. That's another game where, like, I'm like, I wish fans could be there.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this week. Phil, thank you for pulling double duty and joining me once again on the YWC First Ever Picks podcast. We didn't do one last time. I did it on TikTok. I'm going to do the same picks on TikTok again and then duet my TikTok to see if I'm right or wrong. Guys, get Phil's subscriber count up on YouTube. Get my subscriber count up on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us both. We are both on TikTok. I don't know how much Phil produces on TikTok, but him and I do use the app. Basically, I give out all my social media but Facebook because that's personal. But anyway, guys, Phil, thank you very much for joining me for two straight episodes of the YWC yes. Football Talk podcast, not talks.
Don't forget, go Pats.
And we got to do it. We started episode 24 with this. We're going to end Super 25. We're going to end the 25th episode off with what we hope to see more and more as the season goes on. But Super Cam! Good night for now, guys, and please stay safe from COVID-19.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.